All right, I believe we're on and we're live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the September 20th meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board of the City of Morro Bay. And let it be known now that all members are present and accounted for except Member Olson. And Bill, we hope you're doing a little bit better and recovering up well with that knee. I know he's a cycling maniac. You need to watch out for Bill Olson. He'll be out there on his bicycle and he'll run you off the road. That's a joke. Thank you. Next item is number 3, acceptance of agenda item. Has everybody hopefully had a chance to look over the agenda? And we're fairly short this evening, so there shouldn't need to be any corrections, but I will ask. Does anybody need anything juggled? No, we're okay. Do we move to accept it as it is? Second?
Second.
And all in favor? That's unanimous. Okay, next, announcements. And I think we have quite a few this evening, so I'm just going to start at my left. Mr. Ewing, do you have any? I know that there's going to be a candidates forum coming up, isn't it? That you will be...
About that, I guess I could say something.
It's a very important one.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. On October 15th, between 1 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right here in the Vets Hall, ABC, AGP Video, and the candidates are sponsoring a candidates forum. So we hope to see as many of you as possible here to present questions on all issues pertaining to Morro Bay, give the candidates a chance to explain their positions, and give you a chance to see whom you wish to vote for. So please mark that on your calendar, October 15th, 1 to 4 in the afternoon, right here in the Vets Hall. I look forward to seeing all of you. Thank you.
And that's candidates for council and for mayor, is that correct?
Both offices.
All right. It's a great opportunity, so hope everybody turns out.
Thank
and
you.
I will skip over myself because I just think that the chair should probably go last. Dr. Dorfman?
We have biodegradable piñatas and excellent food, and it's to raise funds for the EcoSlow garden program, school garden program.
Enough to help school kids learn how to get involved in gardening.
And basically getting them back out into the garden, assisting teachers to incorporate curriculum from the garden and so on. So it's currently partnered with the SLO County Office of Education in their community schools, and we have one here at the Morro Elementary site that's Morro, or the Estero Community School Program.
Is there a phone number or a website anybody
does? Yeah, you can actually, if you would like more information, you can call 772-7668.
Awesome.
Yes.
Anything else?
Just briefly like to announce the Smart Energy Summit coming up October 10th at the San Luis Obispo Veterans Hall. It's sponsored by a wide range of groups, including EcoSlow, the Sierra Club, PG&E, and others in the county, and it's really going to be an all-day event that focuses on getting people in touch with things they can do to reduce the amount of energy that they're using at their home, business, and so on, and also brainstorm potential ideas that we could do here as a county or as a state to really make an impact and come up with some solutions about our energy crunch that we seem to always be having.
It would be nice if some local folks wanted to come in and try to get some ideas for our city and
yes,
hopefully carpool or take public transportation.
Oh, for sure, yeah. There's going to be information from building all the way to transportation and the medical industry and so on. So.
Excellent. All right. Jane, anything from you?
I do. I have an announcement that came to my attention. This is about safe getting your children to school, 385. And if you are interested in the workshop but you can't make it for 4 hours, there's a one-hour workshop on October the 17th in the evening from 6 to 7 at the San Luis Obispo County Library. The workshop on October the 18th is at Meadow Park in San Luis Obispo, and you do need to pre-register for that. So if you're interested, contact Jessica Berry. And again, the phone number is 781-1385.
All right. And Roger, you said you had one more?
Yes, I did. Thank you. It has come to my attention. I've been stopped out in the city by a couple of people, actually three or four citizens, who have requested, how do they get a specific channel on Charter, specifically the tennis channel, and I have investigated.
Did you tell them to get satellite?
That's always a viable option, almost for anything. Well, never mind. We won't go down that road. But anyway, for those of you who are interested in the Tennis Channel and any other channel that you currently don't receive, the best advice that we can give, since we as a board cannot take action, and since the City Council as a council cannot take action because the contract has already been signed, sealed, and delivered, is to give Charter a call. Start bugging them. And bug them more than just channel request. If you have anything that's a problem, bug them. The only way you're ever going to make changes to what you see on Charter is to bug them, call them, write them, throw rotten tomatoes at them, do anything to get their attention. But please, if you wish to have another channel, give them a call. Thank you.
And just to follow up on that, there might also be problems with the Morro Bay office. Whirling game, by the way, for people who don't know.
I haven't been around in a while, sorry. Basically, with regard to the local office being closed, payments can be made in a number of different ways. According to Charter, one is going down to the office in San Luis Obispo at 260 Bridge Street to make a payment there. You can also sign up for an automatic debit from your account service as well. I don't know whether there's a fee attached to that or whatnot. Sometimes there is. You can make a payment by credit card, although I don't know why you would want to, but there is that option. And then another option that I need to actually follow up with on Charter to see whether it's in place yet is they've discussed having like a Western Union type place set up here in Morro Bay that somebody can make a payment locally.
We'll go with the flow. One, I don't think there's any charge associated with either having your bank debited or a credit card other than the bank or credit card. But since the senior citizens collect for PG&E and the gas bill, they have the mechanism, rather than them setting up something separate, they're quite reasonable in what they get back from PG&E. That would be a place people could take it in the senior center, rather than setting up something separate. Are they aware of that?
I believe they are, but it's something I can mention to them again.
Tell them this is the way to do it.
Well, but the city cannot dictate how they do that, but it certainly can be mentioned that it is an option for them to consider.
I'll be bringing up under future agenda items the state legislation.
And just to let you know, I have not. I finally, Dr. Dorfman actually called me and told me where the source was. The Bay News had printed an article saying that council would not be reappointing before January for Sarah McCandless on the Planning Commission and for myself, who had resigned. And the actual reality of that was this board had had two resignations late last year with resignations. Did I say that right? Two resignations last year with John Lemons and John Jaroslawski resigning, and right about the time that they had set up the appointment interviews, Bob Coyle needed to resign. So council decided to not fill that position. So it was Bob Coyle's position that hasn't been filled. I have not resigned, and I contacted Neil Farrell. He was very, very gracious and very apologetic that there was a mistake and said that he would print a retraction. But I just wanted to let you know, if I were forced to resign, and I have had some health problems, if I were forced to resign, you would hear that from me because I don't like rumors. So I would certainly let you know, if at all possible, directly that I was going to resign. So that was minor, and it's all cleared up, and everything's fine. I'm here, like it or not, for another year and a few months. Thank you. I appreciate that.
As vice chair, I was in great distress.
He thought I was going to sneak out and leave him. Okay, a couple more announcements. Next week, September 25th through September 29th, is cleanup week through the garbage company. You can set out at the curb up to 12 regular cans, that's 32-gallon cans, or 12 bundles, not longer than 4 feet in length, tied up. They're not there on the weekend, so call them tomorrow. That would be the best time.
And if I could just jump in real quickly.
Go ahead, Jeanette.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to step over you, Barry. The calling ahead is only for the bulky items.
Yes, only for the bulky items.
Not the regular 12 bundles that you could put out or 12 containers and whatnot. It just applies to the bulky items.
I But what I wanted to add, because I went to clarify, because I'm helping a couple neighbors who need help gathering their stuff, the 4 feet is 4 feet in any dimension, not Q. So, but it must be under 70, can't be more than 75 pounds, whether it's a can or a bundle. And no hazardous waste, batteries, that kind of thing, but that's easily taken care of by taking it Saturday mornings at what hours to our, just to remind people?
I think it's 11 to 3.
Unless it's raining.
11 to 3 near the maintenance.
At the wastewater treatment plant at, I always get their addresses.
It's on the Atascadero Road.
It's on Atascadero Road. It's past the city yard. I believe it's 170 Atascadero Road, but it could be 160. That might be the maintenance yard. But as you're starting to head around that last little curve as you get to the beach, you'll see it on the left-hand side. You can't miss it. And it's from 11 to 3 every Saturday unless it's raining.
And just so you know, I mean, TVs, things like that, those are bulky items. You got to call ahead. Please do not put your bulky items in your blue recycle bin, because that really just makes a mess out of the whole collection system. So please put it out there in the appropriate containers. And any questions, I strongly encourage you to call the garbage company. They're very helpful. Thank you for that one. Go ahead, Barry.
I had one item about bulky items. Things like old barbecues or large lawn furniture, that kind of thing, you can call all year round.
But it will cost you more.
It's $10 per item, which is still quite reasonable.
Right. The plus with doing that, if you can, during the cleanup week, is that it's a discounted rate for the cleanup week. When it's not the cleanup week, it's, I think, double that.
It costs more. So this week, and we also do this again in April, I believe. There's a spring cleanup, and usually that's associated with the community yard sale. Give you an opportunity to sell your stuff at a yard sale. What doesn't sell, you can have hauled away. Okay, on to the next item.
Vicki, quickly, with that, too, another excellent resource for questions about recyclables and things like the times of the hazardous waste collection facility. The Pacific Bell phone book actually has a tab in there that has the community's recycling guide that's put together by the Integrated Waste Management. It's an excellent resource. You can find anything, information about mattresses to televisions to golf clubs. So
yeah, I think that's right in the middle of the yellow pages, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, it's page like 578 or something like that, towards the end. A handy little tab, though, that you fold out, and you can get to it really quickly.
The pages on the end are green, so that helps out.
If you're using a Pacific Bell or whatever.
And if you're not colorblind.
Okay, next thing, election time is coming. No, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. But I am going to say something that has to do with registering. Now, first of all, here's my little spiel. I'm not going to tell you that you should vote, but I kind of am. Voting is kind of a responsibility that you have. It's a very small responsibility when you think about it. Consider that you can register to vote for the upcoming election is Monday, October 23rd. Now, if you do it then, you're not going to receive an absentee ballot or any of the other information. If you want to get all the state and local information along with an sample ballot, you're going to need to register by Monday, October 9th. And if you also look on your registration card, which you can get at any post office or library, there's a box there to check for absentee. A lot of medical conditions and other circumstances will allow you to be a permanent absentee, which means you will always get your ballot absentee in the mail. You can fill it out at home. If you need assistance seeing it or marking the ballot, you can get that help. You can do it without needing to stand in line. If you're not able to stand or for a whole bunch of reasons, it's a very nice way. I've been voting absentee for years, and it gives me time to think over things and do a little bit and put it down and rest my eyes and go back and finish it up. And that's pretty important. Now, there's a website for the county clerk, and I found discrepancies in the information I got on the telephone and the website. The website has a lot of information, but the dates are a little bit different. It is www.slowcounty, spelled out county, slowcounty.ca.gov/clerk. And if you do a search for request absentee, it'll pop up the actual application. You can fill it out there, print it and fill it out and take it in. Now, the absentee ballot requests have to be in the hands of the county clerk's office by October 31st. That's an absolute deadline. So I strongly encourage you to take advantage of that. A very small percentage of people who are eligible to vote actually vote. and decisions on how our lives are run kind of are set by that small percentage, so it'd be nice to. And one of them is going to win, and two of them are not, and I'm going to feel sad for those that don't win because I know how hard they work and how much they care about the community. I hope that you take the time to think about it. They're all very good people, and they all have very different political ideologies, and one of them may suit you very well. So please take the opportunity, come to the candidates' forum, give a listen to what they have to say, and do your part. And that's really simple. We do a lot of complaining and bickering, and, you know, for me personally, I'm just really blessed to look out my door and see the Pacific Ocean and have hot water coming out of a faucet and roads and icky water that goes away when I'm done with it. Those things are really wonderful to me. So, you know, being a part of it doesn't mean complaining really as much as it means being grateful for some of the wonderful things we have and the opportunity to talk to people who will run your city face to face. And I also hope that some of the fabulous ideas that I've heard from all the candidates, whether these folks win or not, I hope they don't disappear. I hope they stay involved, and I hope that some of those ideas are done. I think that's a beautiful thing, and I think all three of those folks running for mayor can work together, and so can some of the council members and the candidates for council working together on making our community the best it can be and standing our ground in face of larger bodies of government that may wish us to do other things. So that is my little spiel there. And also,
Madam Chair, could
yes, sir.
I just wanted to add an additional aspect to the upcoming elections from two points. One, there are two measures on the ballot that deal with in the future, and I'm not going to, but it's very important about our future. And the other is about filling vacancies on the city council by appointment versus election. And again, those are both very important issues, have been controversial in the past, and this is a chance for people to settle the controversy by a vote of all the residents of Morro Bay who are eligible to vote. The second point I want to make is that we're particularly blessed, certainly in this county, that a vote cast will be a vote counted. There's been some articles lately that some people say, well, why should I bother? Because not only might my vote not count, it won't get counted because of what has happened in other places around in this country. That's not the case in San Luis Obispo. We're blessed with a good system. Nonpartisan, and a vote cast is a vote counted, and there's so many important things, those two measures in addition to the council seats and the mayor, and so I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Barry. One last thing I wanted to say, I have, it's September now, and I'm chair on this board until January, and then a year after that in January will be the end of my term here, and I've kind of set a two-term limit on myself. So that'll probably be a time when I'm stepping down unless some massive change happens. But that is my plan at this point. And one of the things I'd like to say as we're, you know, moving towards the end of this board's year and my position as chair is that in our announcement points, so this is an excellent board. I don't think I've ever worked with a better proactive. And I think we have some fabulous ideas, and maybe your idea is Looney Tunes, and maybe your idea is the spark that sets a whole chain of things into motion. And ideas are nothing if they're not heard. So that's something I'm going to do, not as I'm scooting out the door, but because I think it's the right thing to do. And people will certainly let me know. They either like it or don't, because they usually do. So that's something I just wanted to add. I'm saying it to my board members now that I encourage it, and I hope that we do it to bring the ideas forward, and that our ideas are heard by the public, and that the public come to our meetings and take the opportunity for public comment, and also continue to do so at the council meetings. So that's my spiel. And if there's no other announcements, I'll end that section.
Can I second that?
Do we need a formal motion? Can we send off the council? Everybody just behave. Just get along. I mean, we're a small town, and, gosh, that's why I live here, because I like it that way, and because I can walk down the street and say hello to people, even though I think maybe some of them are a little colorful and we don't agree. But, you know, it's not what we disagree about. It's what we have in common. And that's Okay, we're going. See what I mean about a wonderful board, everybody? We have very different ideas, and we're all here working well together, hopefully in your best interest. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next one, written comments. We have one from the Bike Committee, and I would like to say, Bob Davis, this is a very nice letter, thanking the public services staff for getting some brush and trees trimmed along the bike path. This is the kind of thing I mean. This is just saying thank you. It's a very small bit to pay, and I think it really is helpful. People are working hard. They're human beings, and just saying thankful and being gracious is a very nice way to start. This would be the opportunity for you to come and speak for about 3 minutes, and it's always a good opportunity. We're friendly. We don't bite, and it's a very, very quiet, and you don't have to spend too much time. So please, we invite you. Well, I'm still trying to get the dunking machine. I still think that's a really good idea. I think we would have entertainment, but nobody's ever taken me up on that.
We'll bring the leftover pinata from the garden party.
There you go. Do I need a blindfold, though? We just blindfold and do it? Okay, I'm rambling now. Okay, on to item 7, consent calendar. We have two sets of minutes to approve, minutes from June and minutes from July. The reason we're doing June's now is because there was not a quorum during July's meeting, and then our August meeting was canceled. So does anybody have any comments, corrections? Let's start with just the June meeting first. Anybody have any comments or corrections that need to go on there?
I have a comment that I think there's a part of our discussion that I think would be good to have on the record. Especially, we'll hear more tonight, and it was our discussion about the concern for the potential negative impact on Morro Bay of the Sunday service should the pilot result in it being continued. And the suggested wording would be where it says director's report / information items. It goes down to discussion followed on details of service and continued funding.
Excuse me, Barry, where are you?
He's in the bottom paragraph.
Which minutes?
This is for June. Bottom paragraph on the first page.
Okay. Ah, gotcha.
Let me give it to Janine. Would not be negatively impacted should the Council of Governments decide to continue Sunday service after the pilot. Period. While details were not available at this time, the Council of Governments understands it would need to come up with other funds to avoid a negative impact on Morro Bay. And that would be staff indicated. Just because I think there was quite a bit of discussion about it, and so to have on record back then, so when they eventually see the minutes.
Is that what you wish to have included?
Yes.
We can have Kathy go back and listen to it to get some of the actual wording.
What was the wording
he just gave?
I have it written out.
Okay.
What she's saying is that we can't write something in the minutes that wasn't actually said.
That was
to just to make sure that
okay, sure.
That what was there is yeah. What was spoken, but to include a little bit more information in the discussion section on that.
Okay. This would. Exactly. This wording or something else, and this would be sufficient, not any more detail, just that my recall is that we raised the concern about the negative impact and that you reported to us that you didn't know how they were going to deal with it, but they're aware of it and were working on it in relation to us, and also San Luis Obispo City had the same.
It is an issue that the Council of Governments will have to address in the future.
Is everybody have
Thank you for the clarification.
Of what that was so that we can have a motion for acceptance?
I'll move that we accept the minutes as delivered and amended by Dr. Dorfman.
I guess I should back up and say, is there any other corrections that need to be made? No? Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a second on the motion to accept?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Okay, let's move on to the minutes from July. And are there any additions or corrections that need to be? Of course, I wasn't here, so I shouldn't say anything.
And thank you for chairing the meeting there on short notice.
Is it true we had more public comments?
Oh, yes.
Maybe we should be absent more often.
I move we accept these minutes.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous for July minutes. Okay. On to the next item, the director's report. No information required, or no action required, but are there any comments on the director's reports?
If I may be so bold as to make a couple, I do have two areas that I think warrant comment. And with Janine being here, might be an apropos time to do so. It has come to our attention merely by this report that our state legislature, in its infinite wisdom, has taken the action to remove any control by local governments over that. I like to quote, take two quotes from. Today is a great day for California consumers who are now one step closer to having a real choice for their TV video service. And that was a quote made by Kenneth P. McNeely, Western Regional President for San Antonio-based AT&T. The second quote, this is a very complicated bill, and it's outrageous that all these amendments were made in the last days, and we were never allowed to see them. Quoting Megan Taylor, spokeswoman for the League of California Cities. So once again, corporate America is depriving we, the citizens, opportunities for choice. And I am very disappointed that, one, we can do nothing about it, and two, we are about to lose any control we have over Charter Cable through this legislative action. I have no idea what it's going to do to our PEG access. And for those of you who aren't familiar, PEG access, part of it is what brings these meetings to you every week. Public, education, government access, which are supposed to be provided by cable channels, cable providers. And without local control, I fear that we may lose control over PEG access and could very easily lose PEG access. So other than making a comment to the City Council and having them forward your comments, our comments, to our state legislature, I don't know what else we can do. But I find it very disappointing, and
That's why I mentioned I was wanting to put it under new business, and then we'll...
Put what under new business?
Well, I mentioned that at the beginning,
future agenda items.
When it was first brought up about 10 minutes ago, that I would be asking to have the item put under new business.
Oh, is this the item you were talking about?
That the recent legislation affecting the city's relationship with cable. I guess I was obscure.
Yes, you were. Well, if you want to bring it up,
he didn't want to go into detail about the legislation, but said that it would be something that he wanted for future.
Then I will postpone my further comments and wait until you bring it up under new business.
Well, let's definitely put it under agenda items for next month. Yeah. It can be very short. I mean, it doesn't need to be a long, but we need to make sure that it is a discussion/action item. So that if this board feels that strongly, I don't know what council can do about it.
I don't either.
But I still think it's a good idea if we feel that way about it that we should let council know that we think we're worth the fight. And also, all of you watching at home on television, this is about how you're able to watch us on television. Yeah. So that's very important. My choice when it comes to cable is I yanked it out. I still have cable for my internet access only because I haven't felt like changing my email address. But Charter is not at the top of my list, and I hope that I work well in the interest of the city when it comes to their issues. But I don't like being manipulated, and I don't like being told what I can watch and what I can't watch.
Well, the reason we brought it up now was mainly because we are a platform for public information. And if we don't speak about it, raise the issue, and discuss it, then the public
business, and we'll finish it off. The idea of doing further new business is so it gives any of us who have the bent or to find out more about what was put in the legislation to preserve cities, things like PEG access, if anything, and also what staff can supply without doing any additional work than they have done, since we can't ask them to do work. But we certainly can find out more and then be certainly much more that platform. And also it's a chance for any citizen to become on the record. Maybe there are things that cities can do.
Very good.
Perhaps that might be a good place to also bring to council our displeasure with the closure of the local office.
That too, yes. It's all part and parcel.
Is that copacetic with the group? I don't want to add things to people's comments.
We can add that as an agenda item. Separate, because I think there are separable issues.
Well, closing the office is an example of what a cable company can do without local control. And it's just the first step in depriving we, the ratepayer, and the citizen, any opportunity for redress and ad infinitum. I mean, they chip away at our rights as a ratepayer to the point where we end up with nothing. And it's 1984, Big Brother all over again. And I have another comment on another subject, if we're through with this one.
I see the dead horse there, so we'll...
That's kind of a lame deal right in itself. We have no choice, so it's kind of a monopoly. So if we have no choice, it seems like as a city, we should be able to fight for the best contract we can for our people.
You mean you support the bill because it gives choice?
No, I don't support
it. I'm just saying the picture, and that's why I think we need to have an agenda item, is a bit murkier than Big Brother did terrible things.
Well, and not only that, I think if we send a motion to council saying they should look into it, there may not be a thing they can do legally. But I think it's as we're an advisory board, I think what we're doing is sending a statement to council that says to them, you know, we really just don't like this. And it may be that that's all it ends up being, but I still think, you know, that in itself, you know, from the discussion of it that we'll have hopefully next month, that would spark a fire under somebody. And also, too, again, to the public, we should have our agenda published. I think it has to be published 72 hours before the meeting. Please check online or at the library or City Hall, Public Services. And if this is an agenda item and you have a strong feeling about it one way or another, please come to our next meeting and join us and state your case there, because what you say here goes on record and you are your comments are being made publicly on television. So, yeah. Okay. Other items on this director's report?
Yes, if I may continue, please. As long as you're all willing to let me have my soapbox, I'll use it one more time. And this is a personal comment, but it has to do with the wastewater, the sewer cost upgrade that we are about to incur. 50 a year increase on the sewer, with $2 being increased the third year. We're now in the third year. A lot of us thought that was across the board. We found out at the last meeting that no, staff laid that at the doorsteps of only the residents and the condo owners. Businesses, motels, hotels, and the power plant were not included in that rate increase. So now they are initiating another increase, a 20%, and this one is across the board. However, the residents are being increased only 5% each quarter. It's my contention that having already paid the $5 increase without any increase to the motel, hotel, businesses, and power plant, we shouldn't have to be taxed that 20% increase over a full year. I urge you in the public, you the residents, you the ratepayers, come before your city council and ask them why there is such a discrepancy in paying the rate increase, why the residents and condo owners are being treated a lot differently than businesses, motels, hotels, because businesses, motels, and hotels share equally in the distribution of that sewer, and I think they should pay equally. So we're being shortchanged, the residents, I think. I think we're paying twice when we all should have been paying once. And I think there's, as I said, a discrepancy. So if you agree.
Our board's request to take another look at the Chora Valley sewage treatment site. It's actually just renewing a couple of studies that had taken place earlier, and just wanted to again thank the council for taking our recommendation.
Amen.
It's amazing how many reports and studies I have over the years that we spend a lot of money to have a study done, and then it gets slipped off someplace and forgotten about. But when the issue comes back up again, we don't go back and look at it. We either pay more money to have somebody else do it, or we forget about it. That's kind of puzzling. So, anything else? Okay, we'll wrap up from this item. Move on to old business.
One quickie.
Okay.
There was an organization chart that was to be attached, was it? Page 2 of 4 refers to an organizational chart that will explain these changes in public services.
I don't see it here.
Which item? Is it under?
Page 2 of 4, report
on city
council
action.
The last sentence.
Okay. This was an item from either Frank or Bill.
I know. Can you check with them and ask them?
Yeah, we can forward that to you.
And also for the public, because that's why I'm bringing it up, simply that it was there and it wouldn't be in the public packets. But it really shows I could follow the narrative because we're familiar with it. But it really shows the changes, which all make sense. And I think in a way the public should see how making do on
included in the next packet,
yeah, just
so that
great.
That information is available to the public,
yeah.
As well as the board.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that because I missed that.
And it shows that reader.
Yes. And I read it and forgot it. Okay. There is no old business for item 9. Although I know Frank is not here, and I missed our July meeting. Did we get comments back from the residents down there, South Bay and Quintana, on how things were going, if signs had been installed? Was Frank able to cover that? Or because we promised those people that we would have that back to our board just to kind of see how it was going. And I don't want to let that, you know, drop off and not hear what they think.
Signs are installed. Are you talking about Quintana and South Bay Boulevard?
And we had said at the previous meeting that we were going to have Frank come back, and those members of the public would be able to kind of give some feedback on how things were working with the signs that were put in.
We had quite a bit of public comment at the last meeting.
Okay, so
yes.
They did have. I just wanted to make sure that
yes,
they had
some
that
very
opportunity
good public comment at that meeting.
So my apologies for missing that meeting. It was unavoidable. Okay, next, new business. Drum roll, please. Janine is here to join us for item 13, new business. The first item, this is a very long, long-lived process here. There are two items here. A is recommendation to City Council regarding the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments programming options for the increase in fiscal year 2006-2007 state transit assistance funds. Do you want to take them one at a time, right, Janine? Yeah, okay, definitely. Okay. I will turn.
And it's made up of local transit funds, LTF funds, and state transit assistance funds, STA funds. These come from the state, and they're based on a portion of sales tax for gasoline, for diesel fuel. And there's a breakout of how the LTF funds are distributed, which aren't part of what is being talked about here.
LTF is local transit funds?
Local transit funds. What's talked about here is the state transit assistance, or STA funds. Basically, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, the programming agency for the county, receives funds from the state every year. They get an estimate in the early part of the calendar year that they then break out by jurisdiction how each local agency is going to get the funds or how much they're going to receive. And it's an estimate. And so in April of every year, it goes to the Council of Governments Board for what they call apportionment, which is basically saying Morro Bay is going to get this much local transit funds, they're going to get this much state transit assistance funds. And this is the total amount of TDA you get for this particular fiscal year. Later in the year, once the state adopts its budget, the state provides an updated or revised estimate of the actual amount that the region will be receiving. And in all, you know, historical years, sometimes it goes up a little bit, sometimes it stays the same, sometimes it goes down a little bit. It is all based on how much fuel is being purchased. This year, because of the higher gasoline prices, as well as the state not doing a take of some of the state transit assistance funds for its own budget funds, and what they were originally proposing was something slightly different than what they historically have been doing. And within the STA, or the state transit assistance funds, there's kind of two different categories. One is based on revenue, one is based on population. The revenue category, it comes from the state, and it's defined in state law how it's calculated. And it's calculated with revenues that the city receives for our transit services, so our dial-a-ride and our trolley. Every year we file a state controller's report that says how many riders we had, how many miles, how much revenue. And they compare that with all the other regions in the state, come up with a percentage, and then calculate what SLO County will be receiving for this.
When you say the revenue that we have dial-a-ride and that kind of thing, is that fare box revenue?
It's fares.
Fare box,
yes.
Revenue. Okay.
It's based on fare revenue.
So the higher the fare we have, if we maintain the ridership, the more you get.
Well, potentially the higher your percentage compared with the rest of the state, but it all depends on whether you keep your ridership and the other realms doesn't change.
There's that 10% fare box cash ratio where does it that?
That's not part of this.
Okay.
That's a separate thing.
Along those lines, I would like to know eventually how the trolley actually, because I saw that they had there was a breakdown for the fare box rate for the trolley when it's, I believe it's a purely free service to people who use the trolley service.
No, it's not free.
Oh, there is a pay.
And the trolley,
it's
not out of straight transit funds. That's more general funds that we pay for the trolleys.
The trolley is paid for with general funds, fares, advertising spaces that we sell on it. It doesn't use TDA funds.
You had just finished about the revenue part.
Right. So the revenue portion is it's a direct allocation to jurisdictions based on this formula from the fare revenue compared with the rest of the jurisdictions in California. So it's something that the Council of Governments, it comes through the Council of Governments and basically just comes directly to the city. They don't have any say as far as we're going to keep X amount for discretionary projects or X amount for administration or anything like that. It comes straight to the city. The other category is population, what they call population-based. And it, too, is set in law how it's calculated. And similar to the revenue side, which is based off the fare revenue, this is based off of the jurisdiction's population.
Is that census population?
I believe every year the Department of Finance updates that, but I can check on that to see whether it's the census or the Department of Finance, or whether Department of Finance uses the census. But it's basically the city has a certain population, and they take a percentage, they figure out a percentage based on the rest of the state. And then that is determining how much money comes to the San Luis Obispo region. And it goes to the Council of Governments, and then the Council of Governments determines how it gets allocated out to the region.
Could you, so it's the sum total of the population in the region that's really driving how much we get, how much the region gets?
Compared with the rest of California,
state.
Yes.
And what is the parameters, or what are the boundaries of the region? Is it coterminous with the county?
The county is part of that.
So the region's bigger?
Well, it includes the cities and the county.
No, but I meant geographically, it's San Luis Obispo County is its own region.
Yes.
Geographically. And within that, there's all the governmental jurisdictions, but it's the population of San Luis Obispo County that
yes.
drives the population amount. And when it comes, it's awarded to the region. It isn't saying this money is already tagged for Morro Bay.
Right. Okay. The law is not specific like the revenue-based side. So it comes to the Council of Governments, and then it is apportioned based on board policy. And historically what they have done is there'll be kind of like a call for projects, so to speak, where they ask the jurisdictions, the cities and the counties, the transit operators, what needs do you have? And mostly they're capital. Sometimes it may be a planning study that it can't be funded with something else. Sometimes it's driven by the unmet needs hearing process. If something comes up from that, that is to be like a pilot program, like the Sunday service that happened this year, they get funded out of this particular pot, and they call that discretionary.
Question, is street maintenance eligible for this?
No.
Okay.
This is purely for transit, not transportation, which would include streets and roads. So what the Council of Governments Board has done historically is come up with these discretionary uses, and they vary from year to year. Some years it's not very much. Some years it's multiple projects and, you know, several tens of thousands of dollars. And then the remaining amount of that population base is allocated to the jurisdictions and the county based on population within the county. So a certain percentage, Morro Bay would make up a certain percentage of the population within the county, and that is the amount that's applied to the amount that's remaining that the city would receive. So what the Council of Government staff wanted to do was to first, the revenue base, since they don't have a say as far as it's a direct allocation to the cities from the, and the county from the state, is immediately allocate that portion out. And on page 2, at the top, there's a table that lists the original revenue-based estimate from the spring of this year, what was apportioned in April, the new estimate that was received from the state in, I think it's August, and what the net gain would be to the city. And in this case, the revenue base would increase by a little over $2,100. It's the smaller of the two categories within state transit assistance. The other portion, the population-based, that the Council of Governments has more say with how it gets allocated out, what staff was proposing to do, and that staff report that was going to their advisory committee today is attached to your staff report. They were proposing to allocate only $150,000 of the $1.5 million that would be available in the population base portion. And then they wanted to do it differently than they have in the past. They came up with a $7,000 base cost applied to all the jurisdictions plus ride-on, and then applied a revenue vehicle service miles calculation to come up with the other amount. And the remaining $1.3 million, they were recommending to wait until after in the November election, where there's a state bond issue that could, if it passes, provide, oh, I've already forgotten the number, but it's a large amount of money that, like over $12 million that would be coming to the region that would be primarily for streets and roads. It would be for there's some other transit, but mostly for capital.
Isn't yes. that one of the biggest problems that we've got, that most of the money that's available to us is for capital and not for operating?
That's one of the other things. I don't know whether I mentioned it clearly in the staff report or the one that I prepared for the council next week. TDA, the local transit funds, and the state transit assistance funds are pretty much, outside of general fund money, which has its own implications, is pretty much the only source of funding available to jurisdictions for operations. A lot of the other funding sources from the state and the federal government, they are for capital. So one of the city's concerns is that what is COG going to do with this other $1.3 million come November, December, when it goes back to their board? Are they going to allocate it the way they have historically, where there's the you figure out what discretionary projects you're going to need to do for the year, and then the remaining amount you dole out like you have with the population? Or is it all going to go to capital? Is it going to be a split? Is it going to be something else totally different, like this miles-based thing that they came up with? So that was a concern, because this is a source of funding that can be used for operations. And there's the concern that that may be lost.
That's for the people at home. The difference between capital funding and operational funding is, in this case, with buses, capital funding really only lets us buy buses, or lets us buy radios, or lets us buy...
You are buying an object, yeah.
But if we buy a brand new bus and we don't have operating funds to put gas in it or hire a driver for it, it sits.
Well, or in the other case, Sunday service. We don't have local Sunday service. Because we don't have the funding available to pay the contractor, to have the driver available to pay them or the vehicle service hours, or having a second bus on Saturday if we're at capacity, or providing evening service hours. These are things that were brought up in or responses given to the city when we did a survey back in the winter of 2005, that these were improvements that people wanted to see here in Morro Bay for our dial-a-ride, but we have no money. This is a source of funding.
Even if we have capital money, we have no operating money to make it happen.
Right.
Good.
That's just something I wanted to – I understand it, but I just wanted the public to understand, because so much of federal grant money that comes to cities is tied in that way. Or at Cuesta College, where they say we don't have money for one thing, why could they build a new building? Because the grant money allowed for capital, but there's no money to hire another teacher, there's no money for chairs, you know, there's no operating expenses. So that's a real big problem with transportation as well, is the difference between capital and operations, and I just wanted the public to understand that.
May I ask a question, please? Forgot the question, how to phrase it. SLOCOG is recommending that the fund disbursement be delayed, according to your staff report. And you also say there's no logical reason as to why. And I'm wondering, by delaying, are they still delaying? And if so, will this affect our operating costs?
Well, this is the STA money, the state transit assistance money that's being talked about here is additional money. Mm-hmm. So back in April, there was the apportionment based on the estimate. Since that time, the city, we've done our budget for fiscal year 06-07. So this would be additional money not anticipated to have. Good. Now, to answer the other part of your question, the Council of Governments has several advisory committees. There's a Social Services Technical Advisory Committee, there's a Technical Transportation Advisory Committee, and a Citizens Technical Advisory Committee. And all three of those advisory committees, they're much like this board and Planning Commission and Recreation and Parks Commission and whatnot, in that they advise the Council of Governments on matters pertaining to them. Those meetings, well, two of them occurred today, which I was attending both of them because I'm a member of one and an alternate on the other, and then the citizens group is meeting this evening. And what happened with that meeting today is that the COG staff is going to be pulling this item from their October board meeting. What they're going to do because of the revenue side is a direct allocation to the cities. They're administratively just going to be able to do that without any further direction or approval from their board. The population-based side, they're going to hold off until after the special election in November and not even go into this calculations that they were talking about with the local base and the operator miles and whatnot, and wait and see what happens in November. If the bond measure passes, there's a whole bunch of money that's going to come to the region, Some is a direct allocation to cities that could be used for capital projects. So if that happens, that's good. And what that would mean is that for the state transit assistance funds, the population-based funds, there would not be as much need or competition for capital items. So you could look at things dealing more with operations side, like maybe adding an extra hour to our weekday service so that we can make that fit that last run with RTA and connect where we don't right now, or provide full driver lunch coverage so that when one driver goes to lunch, instead of having two vehicles available, we're now down one, we can have that vehicle back.
Get straight about past decisions of the discretionary money have included funding rather than operations some capital at times.
Yes, and that is allowable by law.
Yeah, and so I don't see it as no logical reason. I can understand the logic that goes, we've got a substantial amount of new money already, and if that's all we're getting, here's our algorithms or our vision of a sensible way to use it. But if we get all this other money, then
that changes.
We may design a different, more ambitious program. The concern, I understand, is that if they're saying, oh, if we get all this new money that can be used for capital, what if we don't get it, that they have in mind using a lot of the new money for capital uses versus a lot of the new current STA money. If it doesn't pass, we lose some opportunities because our interest is more in operating in this city. And on the other hand, if that does pass, likely more of the new STA money that we know is there could be available for operations, which would be needed to support these capital purchases. So I can understand them wanting to wait. The concern, and I couldn't tell from their report whether they're they have some capital agendas in mind that aren't clear, and that's the...
This was all part of the concern with the city.
Yes.
Is that when you read the report, I mean, the very last sentence of the report is basically the 1.3 we delay until after the November election,
so it's,
period.
It's,
so there wasn't any elaboration like what we got with our advisory committee meetings today that explained that.
See, what made me, I'll say... what raised in my mind the possibility that they have in mind some projects is that of the new money, they did allocate some of it. They did increase some of the discretionary. You see what I mean?
Well, the chart on the first page, is that what you're referring to?
Well, they had, of the population, there was 1.5 million additional. Okay.
That needs to be programmed.
That needs to be programmed, and new money, and they programmed some of that new money.
They haven't programmed the increased amount. What is listed under currently programmed is the apportionment that occurs in on the first page, that little table on the bottom.
Yes.
It says currently programmed, and then it lists the revenue category, the population category, and then the total, and then the new funds available. The currently programmed is the apportionment that occurs every April from the estimate from the state.
How did they get 1.3 unprogrammed?
Because if you go to page, where do I have it? If you go to their staff report, which is the last pages. Sorry, not the last page.
Okay.
Right after page 2 of the city staff report is the staff report that went to their technical advisory committees today. And on page B12, table B, which is towards the bottom of the page, is how they were proposing to allocate the additional funding. So how they came up with the $1.3 million for the population category is they came up with this $7,000 base they wanted to allocate immediately to the jurisdictions.
And that's what was left.
And the revenue miles, and that's the difference with the 1.5.
Was they didn't currently programmed. They went ahead and programmed all of that, the 2.2, or some of that went into the 1.3?
The 2.2 is separate from the 1.3.
Okay.
The 2.2 is what was programmed in April.
And that
in
stands.
August.
And that stands.
And that stands. That's a portion that's based on the estimate from the state. In August, after those funds were programmed, that $2.2 million, the state sent an update after the state budget was passed that said, this is the total amount you're going to get now. And what that ended up being is an increase in the $1.5 million to the population-based portion.
Well, I'll say I'm still concerned that they're not forthright with alternatives I didn't understand the report, but my concern remains because there was no description of their thoughts on how they would use this money. Like, we're having, like the committee that's meeting in Morro Bay, they're looking, what if the plant stays as is? What if the plant's remodeled? And they go down each scenario. There was no scenario, what if the bond passes, what if it doesn't? And I can't imagine, especially if they've known about a certain amount of money since August, they haven't thought about it.
Well, part of it is that they don't know from the jurisdictions what the needs are.
Okay.
So what they have done is they met with the operators, some of the operators, a few weeks ago, to say, here's what's happening with the state transit assistance fund. We're going to get a whole lot more money than we anticipated, and we're going to bring it to the board, and we're going to program it a little differently than we have in the past. One of the things they asked for us to do is come up with a list, both if the bond measure passes and if it doesn't, what are our needs? And then I found, and I was presuming that to be capital, because the bond measure is talking about capital, and most of the time that's what it's talked about. Clarification today at the advisory committee meeting is that that can include operational. So
the bond measure?
No, the increased state transit assistance. And what they want to do is they want to get from all the jurisdictions, all the transit operators, what are your needs, both capital and operating? And then that's what I think they would be doing is they would have an idea after November, what if the bond measure passed, you've got X amount of money coming to the region that can be used for capital. You have X capital needs that can be used by that funding. And then how do we figure out what do we do with the remaining portion?
I think all this, my comment about a concern that comes down to the simple question of after the election, well, do you feel from the city's point of view it'll be a fair and open process for the dialogue on what to do with the money, one way or the other?
That I cannot say. What staff has recommended in here and perhaps what would be continued to be recommended for the process would be nothing different than the COG has done historically. And to follow that process, which for the population portion of it is you figure out what discretionary projects, and part of that is you have to wait until the next unmet needs hearing to see if there's any new needs that are reasonable to meet that now need to have some funding going towards it. But you figure out what those discretionary projects are going to be and what the remaining amount is going to be, and you allocate it based on the population like you have for many, many years.
So to return to Roger's no logical reason, that may apply to why are they wanting to have a different allocation mechanism just because there's more money. You do want a coordination mechanism, and we won't get into how government coordinates, but that was not evident in their report as to why they would be switching.
Right, and that was part of the concern that the city had, is that every year the STA, the State Transit Assistance Funds, are allocated a particular way. The population portion of that, the board, the Council of Governments board, follows a particular process.
Have other cities been concerned?
Yes.
Okay. Is the only change that I saw was the addition of Ride-On into, because Ride-On has never been part of the county transit. It's been like private, I assume, but it has been. I know that they fought, and there was a fight between Ride-On and Paratransit Runabout for certain types of services, and I know that had been going on at the meetings for quite some time. And now it seems as though more of the county funding is going to go for operations and capital of Ride-On, where that didn't look like that had been in the past.
Well, Ride-On is a kind of a, they're sort of outside the process. They do provide transportation services, but in as far as funding mechanism from the state, that they're not part of that. So usually what would happen is that they would apply for make a request to the Council of Governments for funding a senior shuttle that takes people from seniors from Morro Bay into SLO on a particular day, or from Cambria to San Luis Obispo, or some of the other services that they provide. And then of the discretionary money that the COG has, they allocate that to Ride-On. Now, what they were wanting to do differently, and they were sort of saying this under the reasoning that because fuel costs have gone up and all the transit agents are having to pay higher fuel, that they wanted to provide some funding relief to these agencies, and they wanted to include Ride-On with that. So that's where in that Table B of the Council of Government staff report on B12 has them included in there, where typically they're not in the population-based portion, but they do get funding under the discretionary portion. So
that was the only change I could see. I was trying to rationalize, why did they want to change the whole formula for distribution? I didn't understand.
There's still real no, when you read the staff report, there's still no real clear reason why they wanted to do that. The State Transit Assistance Fund has never really had a lot of money in it, and it does fluctuate from time to time, because we will get spikes with the fuel prices, but then they go
and
back
that's
down.
Like right now,
this is the first
more.
Time there. This is the largest increase that STA has ever had. So, whether there's some sort of ideas inside the Council of Government staff's head for using these funds, we don't know. So, what staff is would recommend is that the COG board continue allocating these funds the way they have historically.
And historically is they go through the discretion, the project process and the unmet need hearings, and then the remainder is allocated according to population?
Yes.
Okay.
And that doesn't affect giving assistance to Ride-On?
No, because under the discretionary portion of that, the Ride-On could request funding for whatever the service is that they want to provide, or if they wanted to expand the shuttle service or one of their other services or hours or something like that, they could do that under the discretionary portion.
What would you like from this board on this particular?
I think the motion to approve the staff, to recommend that the staff recommendation be forwarded, it's in the first paragraph.
And I would continue. I would continue to have that as the recommendation, because after the election, the Council of Government staff is planning on bringing the item to their COG board in their December meeting, which means it would go to their advisory committees towards the end of November, and that. So I wouldn't know until after this committee's meeting, or after and the council doesn't have a second November meeting, there wouldn't be an opportunity to have a discussion about this again based on what COG staff may be recommending, which may be exactly what they've done historically or maybe something different. So this would just be kind of putting on record your recommendation to the council that this is a particular action or a particular position that the city would be recommending that the council government board do, which is to continue to allocate the STA monies the way they have historically.
Okay. Would anybody like to bring forward a motion to accept that, to accept staff's recommendation?
I'd like to make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation and pass that on to the city council.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
It's unanimous.
I hope people are getting an idea why transportation is so complicated.
They aren't now. They will soon here.
Well, I mean, it's dry. A lot of people don't like math, and it can get, you know, math is one thing, but when you get math in government, it becomes a whole new creature. It's overlapping things that don't always jive, and when you're at the bottom of the political pool, which a municipal, you know, a city such as Morro Bay is, we have to figure out what they meant when they don't always know or when they disagree. Okay, thank you for your patience, everybody, and great questions, and this issue will be around for a while. Okay, so under item 10B, the North Coast Transit Plan update, because we don't have a North Coast Transit Plan. I had sent out an email to board members when Janine had sent a lot of this information out a while ago, encouraging you to read it because it was very complicated, and there were some drastic changes since you got that email. So I'm going to turn it again back over to Janine and let her try to update everybody.
Thank you. The North Coast Transit Plan is a plan that is, it's a project from the Council of Governments, and part of it is to look at the North Coast to have our city's short-range transit plan update, to also update the short-range transit plan for Los Osos for their South Bay Dial-A-Ride, to create a short-range transit plan for Cambria. And then we're going to also look at other areas within the North Coast and the transit services that may or may not be provided where there may be some deficiencies or needs, such as like Cayucas doesn't have its own local service.
And that this short-range transit plan, that's something we're required to do.
It's a requirement by the Council of Governments as part of the Transportation Development Act process. And it's really a five-year kind of action plan is what I call it. And what it does is it evaluates your service for the past 5 years to see where you've been efficient and effective, you have performance measures that you've adopted previously. It compares your performance standards to those to see whether you're meeting them or you're not. Things that may have changed during those 5 years that may have caused ridership to drop or ridership to increase that may have affected these performance characteristics. And so they want to do this evaluation of that. And then from that, kind of develop recommendations for improvements to the service to make it more efficient and more effective. And this is the first time the Council of Governments has sort of grouped everything together under one plan, a regional plan. And the city is not the leader in this project. We don't have any funding that we've put towards this project. We didn't sign the contract with the consultant. This is purely coming from, it's the Council of Governments project. We are participating, providing information to the consultant, having meetings with the consultant, reviewing things, various tasks along the way. Like we had the community profile that had the demographics, which this board didn't see because it's just basically what the census data tells you and how you operate your service, what days and hours and that sort of thing. The public workshops was another, the community surveys, public workshops, stakeholder interviewers, that was another task to be performed, which you had it as an update with information. And then what was supposed to come next is the proposed operating scenarios. And you guys have been waiting very patiently since, I think, February or March.
We were told February.
February or March for these. And what we received from the consultant, you have attached with your staff report. I did send out earlier because there was a lot of very drastic restructuring options that were proposed. And the city had a lot of concerns with many of the things that were being proposed. And also attached in your staff report is our comments from the city to the consultant on these operating scenarios. I'm not going to go into detail with them because basically what happened after Vicki sent the follow-up email, after I had sent the email saying this is coming to your September meeting, we finally got something from the consultant, we actually sat down, started reading it, found a lot of problems with it, and subsequently had a teleconference with the consultant, with the staff member for the Council of Governments, and with the city manager, public services director, and myself. And ultimately what happened with that is that the proposed operating scenarios that you have in your staff report tonight are gone. They're not going to be part of the plan. They're not going to be proposed as things that the city should consider to do.
They melted away with the rain.
And the sort of the new schedule is that hopefully by the end of next week or the first week of October, the consultant is going to have some new recommendations that he says are going to be based more on the funding reality. And what it was kind of sounding like or appearing to staff was that we had this idea of the five-year action plan doing certain things. And so the recommendations that would be coming that would be, here's the funding you're going to expect to be getting over the next 5 years. And here's how you've been performing over the past 5 years. And here's ways where you can improve your service or things you may consider to change. Like one of, for example, providing connectivity to the regional system. There is a stop at City Park that is the main transit transfer point, so to speak, between the regional system and the local service. We have Dial-A-Ride. It's a demand response. You call up and say, I need to be picked up at City Park at this time, or I need to get to City Park by this time, and you're picked up and taken directly, pretty much directly there, as opposed to the fixed route, which is, has set stops in a particular order. So rather than doing something like what the consultant was proposing, which was to go every hour to schools, and they can be up to 10 kids at a time, and so we now would have to potentially deny that service in order to go every hour here. So rather than doing something drastic and dramatic like that, a recommendation could be something that in order do more promotion, do more outreach to let people know that there is a demand response service locally that you can call to get a ride to the regional system. And that's if your schedule and the regional schedule fit. If you're not wanting to take the regional system because it doesn't fit with your schedule to get you to Cuesta or to get you into San Luis Obispo for work, then you're not going to want to use the Dial-A-Ride to get you there. So some things like that that are a little more realistic based on funding available, based on how we do the service, who uses the service, when they use the service, and that sort of thing. So I am more positive and hopeful that the new recommendations that we get are going to be more along the lines of that than what we originally received from the consultant, which were some very dramatic restructuring that would end up impacting the service, both the trolley and the Dial-A-Ride, very negatively. And so the new schedule is that within the next week or two, we would be getting, staff would be getting a preview of what those recommendations would be. The Council of Governments is going to be hearing getting a presentation on the final draft plan at their December meeting. So what we would be doing is bringing to...
Am I to understand then that we're to ignore this, take no action, and wait until November?
Basically what the action would be is to receive the information, which is since this staff report was put out, things changed. And to basically place the final draft plan on your November 15th agenda for consideration, comment, and recommendation for the council in their first December meeting.
So moved.
One of the things that I think was the most disturbing to me,
now,
well,
I don't even know that we need a motion on it because it's all a moot point.
Well, fine.
But one of the things that I think is important is, I know this is frustrating, but the history that I have with transportation, not only in this county but in other places in the state. Now, the short-range transit plan that Janine was talking about, we have typically gotten funding from SLOCOG to perform that, correct?
Or in the past, what the Council of Governments has done, there is federal planning money, which used to be called 5313, which I think they're calling 5303 or something else now. But it's basically there is a funding source set aside in the federal government that can be used for transit planning studies. In the past, the Council of Governments has applied for this and received it to fund the short-range transit plans. And in the past, they had been done individually. As far as they may have had Morro Bay's, Los Osos, and Atascadero's.
The funds haven't been there.
The what was the current five-year plan for the city expired in, I think it was 2005. So we're 1 year behind at this point.
And those plans normally cost the city how much money?
Well, with the city, nothing. The Council of Governments, through the grant process, what they would do is it would be between $25,000 and $30,000 per short-range transit plan.
And the county paid how much for this consultant to do the overall plan?
The Council of Governments budgeted, I think, total in the end was $50,000 for this study, and that was to include three short-range transit plans as well as taking a look at some of the other areas in the North Coast region, like Cayucas, that are not served by anything other than just the regional service.
So
I'll withdraw the motion, and we'll just wait until November, right?
Well, how about I finish what I'm trying to bring up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I finish my comments here with Janine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My concern, as it has been for, you know, the months that we've seen this develop, is that this consultant was supposed to bring something forward to us that not only amounted to our short-range plan, but also a master kind of idea of where the overall North Coast transit systems could be, you know, more effectively operated. And it seemed like that takes a lot of data that wasn't collected, that wasn't anywhere in the drafts that we saw so far. And the four dismantle us. So that's why I'm passionate about that, Roger. It's not because I'm trying to make this more complicated. It's because what was done to me was very serious, and it was negligent. It did things like, I mean, we have demand response transportation, which is dial-a-ride, which means you call, the service comes to your door at your request, I mean, you know, within a few hours, whatever the scheduled time is, picks you up and takes you directly to where you want, door-to-door service. We've in the past explored the possibility of having route transit, fixed routes, where buses run on specific routes and schedules, kind of like the trolley does. The numbers for our population and ridership have never supported that kind of a transit system. That's why we still have dial-a-ride, and that's why we haven't tried the subsidized taxi tickets. The plans that were here, I mean, like meeting the bus at the park, that's converting our demand response to more of a fixed route. When the interlining that Slorda did on for the buses that serve everything north of San Luis Obispo on the coast kind of diminished service to Cayucas, and one of the suggestions was that we take a bus out of our city and send it to Cayucas at our expense or with no suggestions of how that would be paid for, it's not that I don't want service to Cayucas. It's that I don't think our citizens should do without to fill a need that the county is responsible for. And I think that's pretty serious, and that's why I think it was important for people to understand just how poorly written this plan was so that when we see this revision in November, we see if there really is a revision or not. You know, that's what I'm trying to bring to your attention. That's all. Not tell you how to vote, not tell you what to do. But I feel a real strong passion right now to defend my city. Exhausted the money that they've been paid.
So should we be already putting it on the agenda for November, or should we wait till October and see if it looks like it's even going to make it for that?
Well, I think we should kind of agenda. Keep an interest. And here's another thing, too. As board members, you know, any of us are welcome to go in and sit down at Dial-A-Ride and watch and see what happens if you're interested. I'm going to be trying to do that as well as some other projects within the city to get an idea of what's going on. I've also offered to the city, I have two internships at Cal Poly, I've offered to dedicate one or both of them to doing the data collection through the city that the consultant should have done that did not, because we don't have, obviously, the $25,000 or $30,000 to do it. I don't know if I would be able to do that. I don't know if I'd be able to assist, but it's certainly been offered. Because we need to improve our system. And one of the things that I saw, like Janine said, advertising, there's places on the buses to advertise. And when I'm on the bus and I hear somebody using their cell phone trying to find a number for Dial-A-Ride, is there a way, you know, a sign up there saying, yes, Dial-A-Ride can meet you, call this number. It'd be nice to, you know, kind of encourage that. So that's my little spiel. It's not to make it more complicated. Well, it's to bring a little more information and background to the board so that we're a little more prepared and educated when something like this comes by, because I'm sure it would have been just convenient if we just picked one of these plans and gone with it.
Well,
it would have been devastating to our system.
I don't think staff would have
had us do that. I think that's why the
without
conference call happened.
Getting otherwise. A feedback because of that. I think we're in a somewhat awkward situation. But I feel also some staff, and that's Janine who wrote it. It is well worth reading for anyone in the public if they want to see how our system works and why it is the way it is. But isn't our real audience CCOG, that they're not holding the someone that they purchase services from accountable? If they had someone redo the air conditioning in their building and it didn't work because they didn't take the measurements to know how long the ducts should be, they wouldn't pay them. And it's just, and I've been on the both ends of writing reports and responding to reports. And I feel, I think there's a sense of feeling strongly this way because instead of giving us insight into ideas that we might have missed in our plans, they gave us something that staff time was used not enriching what we had, but defending. And the audience isn't, I have to say, from the hearing that I went to, it wasn't in Morro Bay, it was in Los Osos, there was a flavor of a, and a flavor of laundry list of solutions in search of the problem to hang it on to, rather than, and then we've all seen that, and people can, myself have fallen into that, so it's not that there are people who not know their stuff, but that was the flavor. And our audience, though, I think is CCOG.
You don't have to if you don't want to. I mean, I did put it in a staff recommendation to just receive the information, the update from what you had, you know, was kind of originally thought was going to be happening tonight, and then afterwards the subsequent conference call and changes to the schedule and whatnot. And we talked about at that meeting with the consultant that November 15th is when it's coming back to PWAB for the final draft plan that's going to be considered and comments given to the council and a recommendation. The recommendation, depending on what comes back, I mean, I am hoping, I am optimistic, but I'm not holding my breath because I don't know exactly what's going to come back in the next couple of weeks. If what comes back in the next couple of weeks is just not as acceptable as what we have in the packet tonight, and it's not something that staff can support, and COG is at the end of their project, and there's a plan put out there for consideration, one of the recommendations may be to reject the plan. And then there's, you know, consequences with that of what do we do now as far as do we still need to do a short-range transit plan, and how do we go about doing that? And at that point, it may be the city searches for funding, whether it be from the general fund or whether there's another funding source like STA that may be increasing, or there's the federal planning grant cycle, which is coming up, and doing it ourselves. The same sort of thing happened until we get the new information and the final draft plan from the consultant. We'll have a better idea.
The council member's representative on CCOG?
The Council of Governments representative for the city is Betty Winholtz.
There. I don't know how people feel about saying that this board would like to alert the council to its concern about the I don't want to use the word competence. Its concern over to date the inadequate database, at least in regards to Morro Bay, that was used to as the basis for the plan. So would people be willing to go along with something like that?
I'd be willing to go along with that.
You started to make a motion. Actually, we want to bring this back to you, so you're.
Well, would you be willing to go along with them, saying we want to alert them to our concern about the?
Well, I think we should alert them. Also, I think we're blessed. I think we're blessed with having a very, very fine staff person in Janine to also alert and to stay on top of. But I think as a board to support Janine's efforts, I would totally concur that I think we should.
And should there be mentioned, too, that we would be willing to disregard the report?
You never know.
Well, you know. There is a history.
I have always done a top-notch job myself.
Oh, we're all doing.
I do think we owe a great deal of gratitude and debt to Janine for fighting the good fight on our behalf, meaning the citizens' behalf. And I think if, Barry, if you want to go ahead and make that motion. Please do.
I move that we communicate to the City Council our concern that the available transit plan drafts to date have been inadequate in the database, inadequate, inaccurate, and poorly informed in terms of the database used to generate recommendations for Morro Bay.
Do you also want to include Noah's shot across the bow, so to speak?
In other words,
if it doesn't come back to our standards, we will reject
that
it.
It should. The potential result would be reject.
Aye.
Any opposed? I think that was unanimous.
Yes.
I think that
City Council from having to do it. Yes. Yeah.
And on that, thank you very much, all of you, each of you, for your patience. It's a very complicated issue, and there's a lot of ways for things to be slipped in without us realizing it because it's so complicated. And I've been fortunate enough to work with Janine throughout my time on this board and previously, and I found her to be absolutely outstanding and working in the city's best interest. And good staff members get taken out to dinner by boards that love them. So maybe that's hey, we got to take care of each other here now. Okay, thank you very much, Janine. Thank you for a phenomenal job. And again, people, anybody who complains about our staff members, there are some of them working their butts off to watch your back and your tax dollars. So please keep that in mind. We're blessed to have people that we can walk into their office and say hello and ask questions. Janine is always receptive to the public as well as to the board members, and I hope that you take advantage of that as the next few months come along. All right. Thank you for my indulgence. On to item 11, future agenda items. We already have the North Coast Transit Plan for November's meeting, tentatively. We'll put a question mark and a hopeful sign there. Discussion action item of...
We wanted to talk about the impact of the new state legislation on the city with a focus on... the impact of the new legislation regarding...
This is for pay television. It's a state franchise for the telephone companies to, rather than go to the individual jurisdictions to negotiate a franchise, as the cable operators do. It's a state franchise that it goes through the Public Utilities Commission, the PUC, and then within there's possible provisions that the cable operators can opt in at certain points, either... And again, things change so much in the last few days that I don't know the exact final on it, but it's something that staff's going to be reviewing and seeing what kind of impact for franchise fees to PEG to other potential things that we can negotiate in our contracts.
If you are reviewing and it would be part of the workload of the review, I think the point Roger, and I second that concern, brings up is review what is in the legislation requiring statewide franchisees to continue the local PEG type access.
There are PEG provisions in there and as to how much money and what are things that we need to look at.
We'd like to understand.
Yes.
But I think what I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead. It's okay. I was going to move on to the next.
What concerns me the most about this item is that it's beginning. I mean, one major corporation, a phone company, is beginning to exercise its control over our legislature by denying us local control over our charter system. Is that correct? Isn't that basically what it's all about?
Franchises are franchises.
Yes, but if the phone company can do this, so can the charter cable company.
They're both franchise contracts. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I think we should agendize it. I don't know whether there's...
If any of you have access to information and can bring it, that's always helpful, so we've got a little more background. But we're putting it on the agenda. The public will know. They can be here. They can make their comments, and we can discuss it. And even if we send a motion to council that they can't legally do anything about, we've hopefully done something that serves the community.
So if I understand you, Vicki, on the next meeting, we're going to be discussing the franchise AB 2987 as well as the sewer cost increase?
Yes, and then the North Coast Transit Plan for November's meeting.
Okay.
And was there any other future agenda items that people wanted to bring up?
Actually, I've been having some conversations with members of the public and then with all the talk on the North Coast Transit Plan. I'd like to eventually have a update on the bike lane potential on Main Street north of Atascadero Road going towards eventually Yerba Buena. I really haven't got much information about how – I guess the issue's been around the city for a while, and there is a potential for a solution. I'd just like to find out where we are in that discussion. And
I think Frank Cunningham – I mean, because even before our next meeting, a phone call to Frank Cunningham, city engineer, or Bill Boucher, capital improvements manager, would be able to give you the background of where we are now, because I know there's been a lot of plans.
Yeah.
And – you know, and funding for those plans is usually the issue. But
once get it on the queue in case it may not be next time, but whenever it is, then get agendized. It would be wise to, I think, slow bike to let them know it's on the agenda.
For going 40 miles an hour. At one point, the council, it was suggested that they indent parking on Main Street so that it wouldn't affect the bike lane on the east side, but that got defeated. So right now I think it's in limbo, but I think it's a wise decision to put it on the agenda because more people are beginning to bike. And
and with the school traffic in that area, it just seems more obvious now because you don't see as much in the summer.
Not too long after that, it was encouraged that people rode on the wrong side of the street. because of how dangerous it was to be in a bike up in that area. And, you know, I know it's a problem, and I know having, I think the bike lane that's working over through Cloisters and down to the high school is great, unless you're staying in that central part of North Morro Bay Corridor where you're not going to cross the highway and then come back up. So that's always been a problem to figure out where you put it so people can actually use it and get where they're wanting to go.
I just want to check our next meeting. We're the third. It'll be the
next meeting is October 18th.
18th. And everyone here expect to be here? So we'll have when we have a quorum.
Yes.
We don't have to.
Yeah, we are. That's my next thing. Item 12, a motion for adjournment.
Second.
We're done. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We will be back here again live Wednesday, October 18th at 6 p.m. here at the Vets Hall. Please join us live. If not, please watch us on Charter Channel 20. And thank the good folks at AGP Video for bringing us. Thank you to our staff members, Janine Burlingame. Wonderful to have you. Kathy, thank you so much for taking our minutes.
Thank you.